Maine, Maine, Maine Outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors online. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Paul Reynolds.
And you know, Bob, I was driving in tonight and... even though it's pouring rain over there in Holden, the hills of Holden, yeah. I noticed some of the swamp maples have begun to turn.
No.
You believe that?
Wow. I don't believe it.
Yeah, well, it happened. I saw the thing.
Well, they probably get flooded.
Could be.
There's so much rain lately.
But I wonder if that's a signal that fall's coming on. I can't believe it.
Well, it is coming on. It's, 6 weeks away?
Yet? Yeah, too early for that.
I think so.
Way too early.
Yeah.
Way too early.
Yeah. Hey, we welcome you to Maine Outdoors. We are so happy to have you on board. And we have a toll-free statewide number we'd like to share with you, because this is the way you can get through to us, and it won't cost you a nickel, right, Bob?
Absolutely.
And
positively and consequently.
And what's the number?
1-800. 1-800-966-1039. 1039 is our call letters. And please dial the whole number, even if you're local, because you have to or you won't get through. 1-800-966-1039.
Okay. And remember, you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3, 103.9, and 95.1
FM.
Down there, FM in Rockland. And let's see, we got to introduce our guests here in just a minute. First, the crew that make the show happen for you every week, week after week after week, for, I don't know, the past 25 years, I think. Hard to believe.
That's quite a stretch.
That is a stretch.
You must be a popular fellow, you.
I would think so.
I would say. Yeah. What was your name again?
Anyway, our crew, the guy behind the controls in the operations center, he is the sage of Green Lake. Of Green Lake? where did that come from?
It's closer
this
to
may
home.
Not be your day, Paul.
He's
home,
the sage of Grand Lake Stream.
Good evening, Paul. Hey, how do you like all this stuff? Rain, anyways?
Well, last night at camp, we had thunder and lightning about 3:30, quarter four, and it the skies opened up. I mean, it poured. Yeah. It really poured.
Yeah, really wet.
You didn't have to water your garden anyway.
In fact, I took a peek out to see if my boat was still floating.
It was floating. It was still there.
Yeah. Anyway, last year we had a drought, and they blamed it on global warming. Now we're having rain every day, and they blame that on global warming as well.
It's convenient.
Climate change and all that.
Oh, yeah.
BS.
Yeah. You and Al Gore. Hey.
Yes, me and Al Gore.
And lest we not forget, our co-host is a registered Maine guide. He's been a trout fisherman for, I don't know, probably 70 years plus, right?
Oh, golly, I guess probably probably more than that.
And he ties some great flies.
Tell him how old I am.
He's an author, and he ties some beautiful streamer flies. Bob Lehman.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. You're a good man.
Thank you, sir. Nice to have you here.
Well,
let's see. Our guest tonight, we have two telephone guests, and the first one will be the president of the Penobscot County Conservation Association, Woody Higgins. We had him on a couple of weeks ago, and he didn't get a chance to tell about the big gun show coming up in September. So we'll give him a chance to promote that. Then, after the 7:30 break, we'll be hooking up with columnist John Floyd, who writes a column called The Gun Cabinet. And John is an outfitter, a bear hunter extraordinaire, and he's going to fill us in on what's new, the plans for the bear hunt for 2023. So you stay tuned for that. We have a good show lined up, and we hope you'll be part of it. And I want to remind you, too, that the Northwoods Sporting Journal is a part-time sponsor of this program, and we want to encourage you to call the office if you'd like to sign up for a subscription to the journal. We'll deliver it directly to your house 12 times a year. You can call Alicia at the office at 732-4880, 732-4880. And I want to tell you about a new website addition to our website. We have a new section called the Maine Outdoor Connections. Now, this is a big deal, folks, okay? I want you to check it out. You go to sportingjournal.com, And there's a great big bright box there that says Outdoor Connections. You just click on that, and it will lead you to any type of information that you'd possibly want. If you want to find out what the stream levels are at Grand Lake Stream, you can click on it. It's right there, just a click of the mouse. And it, we also have a section with outdoor recipes. And if we're going to make this thing grow, make it more popular.
I picked right up on that one.
And we've got, I think already we've got about 20 recipes on there. And if you're looking for a good outdoor recipe, you just click on sportingjournal.com, Outdoor Connections, and you'll get the all the latest recipes. And we encourage you to send in your favorite recipe, and we'll make sure it gets included on the website along with your name. Mm-hmm. We're not going to give you any money or anything, but we're going to be so appreciative. If you have a culinary lash up you're proud of, and it's a fish and game recipe, send it in.
Absolutely.
And where do you send that?
You send it to the Sporting Journal.
No, he sent it to me.
Oh, he sent it to you.
Yeah, here's the address.
Okay, go ahead.
You folks at home, grab a pencil, jot this down. If you have a recipe, I want it, and I'll make sure it gets on the website with your name on it. Just send it to V Paul R. That's V as in Victor, P-A-U-L-R, at TDS.net. T-D-S. T-Tom, D-Dog, S-Sam. TDS.net. Send that in, and we'll make sure you get listed on our new recipe column in the on the website of the Sporting Journal. Let's see, a couple other things here. On the Outdoor Digest, doe permits will be drawn when, Norm?
Don't know.
You don't know?
Next Tuesday?
No. You're supposed to have that stuff at the on the tip of your tongue. That's why you get paid the big bucks. Well, I happen
to know. I know it's soon.
I get paid the big bucks, so I happen to know that it's August 15th.
Oh, so this is going to be what?
That's
two days.
Tuesday,
yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out on Tuesday whether we got a doe permit for this year. Make sure you check it out if you apply it. And you go to the website, IFNW website, mainefishwildlife.com, and they'll have a complete listing there as of Tuesday, I think sometime, usually in the afternoon, I believe. Also, I want to remind you, before we get to Bob's fishing report, I want to remind you again, we've had an unusual number of ATV accidents, a couple of fatalities, actually. And remember, avoid speed if you're traveling on ATV trails. You know, those beech trees are really hard and the rocks are hard. Avoid speed, and of course, always avoid alcohol when you're driving an ATV. Be careful out there, folks. We want to have you around for many years to come. Enjoy the outdoors on your ATV, but for goodness sake, be safe and drive safely. I think on that note, I think we can call in the band.
Here they come now, yeah.
Here they are. All five of them.
I'm the big boss bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah. You can thank Jimmy. Jimmy Layden started that, you know.
I know.
Thank you, Jimmy.
God bless Jimmy. Hey, what's going on in the fishing world tonight, Bob?
Well, let's talk a little bit about some deep water fishing for togue.
Okay.
You know, that's a dying breed these days, these gentlemen.
It is, yeah.
Most of them are gone. It's something that they just don't do much anymore.
Yeah.
Do you remember a fellow by the name of Guy Carroll?
Yes, I served in the Navy with Guy.
Did you really? No kidding.
Yes, I did.
How long ago was that? No, you and him. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the early 70s, middle 70s,
yeah.
Not so long ago.
He had a camp down at Branch Lake, and he could fish for togue, I'm telling you. He caught them off the...
Oh, you're talking about Guy Carroll Sr.
Ab Sr.
Oh, I was
not
in the
junior.
Navy.
I was going to say, how old are you? Anyway.
Well, his son, I served in the Navy with his son.
Okay.
Guy Carroll Jr.
Okay. Well, Guy Carroll was he actually for a job, he sold ice cream, Hood ice cream for years.
Yeah.
He used to sell my father's drugstore, as a matter of fact.
Did he?
Anyway.
Yeah.
He was a great togue fisherman, and he could catch him. My second camp, I had a branch. I used to watch him out my front windows, you know, with the binoculars. And he would haul in another togue and another togue and another. And one day I motored out and I said, "Hi, Guy." "Oh, hi, Bob. How are you?" I said, "Have you got a secret to doing this?" And I said, "No, it's no secret." He says, "Come on out tomorrow morning and I'll come get you and I'll show you how I do it." So I did. And he picked me up and we went out. And the secret is he sews on his bait. Live bait.
Yep.
No spoons, no flippers, no Dave Davises. You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
And he uses lead line, but a long leader. A
lot of monofilament.
And And he uses 10-pound mono.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs that mono. He picks a live bait out of his bucket. Yep. Make sure it's good, alive, and lively.
Got a big needle, smelt needle.
Yeah. So? No. He just pokes the monofilament right down the fish's mouth and out the vent. Okay. And it'll go very easily.
Oh, yeah.
Then you tie a treble hook on the end of that.
Oh, yeah.
Pull it up tight.
Oh, yeah.
And then tie another knot just over his mouth. Now, the fish is still alive. Oh, yeah. And you put it in the water beside the boat, and you adjust your motor so the bait is swimming. And it's no good if he's not swimming. You do use another one.
Oh, yeah.
But if that bait is still swimming, and it should be, you haven't killed it.
Nope.
And so then you let your line out, and this bait is going down, you know, a live fish swimming along there, and they give off an odor, whatever they do, a scent, and put it down to the right height. Now, off the cow and the calf was his special hole. I think.
Oh, been there many times.
70 foot deep anyway, right there.
Oh, try 120.
120 beyond that, yeah. Yeah. Well, there's kind of a ledge there he liked.
There is.
Yep, and so he caught a lot of trout there. That's his secret, anyway.
I fished that many, many times with my dad. My dad was an avid tog man, and we would troll over that deep hole, and you'd get your line out. You'd get that Murray spoon pulsating.
Those big copper spoons.
Big copper spoon, and then just about the time you get into the deep hole, you'd let out all the lead core you had, and you'd touch bottom, and then, bam, you catch a toad every time, you know?
Yeah, with those spoons, you know, they wash the rod tip. It made a kind of a bend. It had a rhythm.
Pulsated.
The rod tip, you know. And then when it stopped,
you know,
you either hit bottom or you had a bite. Yeah. Well, if you had a bite, probably went right back. But if they hit bottom, they just take couple of turns on
the
reel.
Exactly,
you know, you're
right
in the same, you know, way you should be.
Yeah.
Right near bottom. And that's how they did it. And they didn't need all these other stuff.
And speaking of togue, did you see in the Bangor Daily yesterday?
I did see a nice one in there.
He was in the Northwood Sporting Journal 2 weeks before that.
Oh.
Just for the record.
Mm-hmm.
And I know him. That's Tyler. Mm-hmm. And he's been slaying the togue. And he's asked me not to tell you where. Just say it was a lake in Hancock County. Now, I know where it is, but I can't tell you because I'm sworn to secrecy.
Well, there's a lot of good togue lakes in Hancock.
But he is so
proud. One of the best ones is Tunk.
Tyler is so proud of his accomplishments. He caught that one that weighed, 20 pounds plus?
Yes, so, yeah.
And had a blast. And he's having the time of his life. Can't tell you where it is, though. Can't tell you. We have a call standing by who may have a question for you, Bob.
Needless to say, the fish was in the water.
Yes.
That's where he was.
Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I was wondering if you had lamprey eels make it up to Grand Lake yet.
Do you?
Grand Lake Stream? Grand Lake, did you say?
Grand Lake, yes. Grand Lake, West, you're talking about West Grand Lake?
Grand, yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Grand Lake.
Have you heard?
Well, would they have salmon have a run, complete run, but lamprey eels come from the ocean, and I don't know if they can get through the dam at Woodland Mill, is it? There's a dam? I'm not sure they can get through that, and I don't even know if they got a fishway there, to tell you the truth.
On the St. Croix?
Yeah.
I think they have a fishway, Have you heard something that we haven't, caller?
Well, I have seen and caught way up almost Island Falls, up in Moluccas.
Oh, my.
No kidding.
Yeah, first time we ever seen it. Didn't know what the heck it was.
Yeah, wow.
Getting in there, I guess.
Yeah.
But being an eel, you know, they could get up on dry land and get back in the water again.
Yeah.
But never seen them up here, and two and a half feet long.
I was going to say, I have seen them. I had them swimming between the legs and everything in the Pleasant River.
Yeah.
And down in Columbia Falls. We used to fish that. They would swim up there every summer.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to have one of those suck on your neck either.
No. I've seen fish with one hanging off. They make a. Yeah. They just drill a hole right inside the fish, you know.
Yeah.
Suck everything out.
What's that going to do to the brook trout?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I don't know. Brook trout are pretty slippery. They're pretty fast.
Yeah.
I don't think they could,
We'll keep an eye on it. We appreciate the call. Anything else on your mind tonight?
Well, no. If you could ask, if you get a biologist on there, just ask them. We've never seen them up here.
Okay. We'll certainly
certainly
ask the question. We'll find out.
All right. Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. You too. Okay, again, if you just joined us, our guests tonight are Woody Higgins from the Penobscot County Conservation Association. He's going to tell you about the Big Gun Show coming up in September. And then after 7:30, we're going to hook up with John Floyd, who's a bear outfitter and guide from Tucker Ridge Outfitters. Right now, though, Bob is going to read the question. We have a trivia question. Bob's agreed to provide one of his hand-tied flies if you can answer his question.
Right here I have the question, and I'm holding it now in my formerly nicotine-stained fingers. And the question reads, if you are hunting bear, that's B-E-A-R, by the way.
Not B-A-R-E?
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe there's somebody who does that. I don't know.
Well, you can hunt bear if you want to, but
I'd be pretty sure.
You ought to at least have on a loincloth, right, Norm?
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah. Let's see. Where was I? Oh, yeah. If you are hunting bear from a bait site or another person's land without a guide, what are the three things that you need, absolutely need, three things?
Okay, so let's make that straight now. If you're hunting bear, B-E-A-R,
yeah.
from a bait site on another person's land.
Absolutely.
So without a guide.
Without a guide.
You need three things.
Three things. That should be the answer, and they'll get me a new fishing fly if they're correct.
All right. You ponder that. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and Judge Lehman wants you to answer this question. He wants to know if you're hunting bear from a bait site on another person's property and you don't have a guide or an outfit or anything, you're just doing it solo, what are the three things that you need to do? And we have a caller, do we?
Yes, we do.
Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hi there.
Hi.
So I think I might know. I know that you have to have written permission from the landowner.
Okay, that's one.
You who have to have your name and address on the bait site.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the third one is if you have a tree stand, you have to have permission for that tree stand too.
Well, what do you think, Judge?
I'll give her that. Two out of three ain't bad.
Well,
you know what I've always said?
The number one thing is permission.
Well, we gotta kind of stick to the script, I think, a little bit here. What is your name?
My name is Becky.
Becky, where are you calling from, Becky?
I'm calling from Great Pond.
Oh boy, Great Pond.
Yeah.
Good fishing out there for brown trout?
Been catching, we do a lot of ice fishing here. We catch a lot of pickerel, a lot of bass.
But no brown trout.
I've caught one there before.
So there are some brown trout, but
they wouldn't bite.
We haven't really had much luck catching any.
Yeah. About three winters ago, I caught one there.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Brown. Becky, did you get that big thunderstorm last night and the raging downpour?
Oh, last night and
tonight.
Just about an hour ago, it was torrential.
Yeah.
We thought there was going to be a tornado coming through.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I don't know.
We're fading, but nothing coming in yet.
You know, I was going to turn you down here, but the judge, he's feeling really generous tonight. I guess he's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, interestingly enough, I mean, those are good ones.
Yeah, acceptable. Those weren't not exactly... The other two things we had on the script, we're going to give it to you, I guess, Becky, because the judge is feeling magnanimous tonight.
Yeah.
But the two we had on here were... And you need
boat,
a...
You get your boat motor, too, right?
No, she doesn't get that. You have to have a bear permit, Becky.
Oh,
well, right.
I thought that was just a given.
That's a given. Okay. Well, and a hunting license, right? That's a given too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You're saying to us, Becky, in a really roundabout way, is it was a lousy question, right? And I kind of agree with you. And I wrote it. Dagnabbit, I wrote that thing the last minute. I was trying to get done to get up here and rush up. Anyway, you're right. It's a lousy question. You deserve to win. The judge is right after all.
Positively, consequently, and thereabouts is right.
So Bob is going to reward you, Becky. Even if, I don't know if you fly fish or not, but anyway, these flies that Bob ties, if you hold on to these, they are going to be collector items. Mark my words. They are going to be very valuable, and you shouldn't use it. I'd put it in a frame and put it on a wall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Well, you think I'm joking, Bob. I'm not joking, Bob. I'm serious.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah. So, Becky, we're going to make sure you get that, okay?
Well, thank you.
And if you'll stay on the line, Norm will get your address and Bob will mail it fly right out to you.
I certainly will.
Well.
Post haste.
All right. Well, thanks, you guys. Love your show.
Are you a fisherwoman?
Fisherwoman.
I certainly am.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Well, do you have any preference for types of flies? These are streamers. Bob, what do you suggest?
I would say Becky. It's okay.
I'll send her one that she can't miss with.
Okay.
I would say
all around can't miss.
I would say Becky, it's okay if you're not a fly fisherman. As long as you get a line in the water, you're a fisherman.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Becky, I want to ask you this kind of a personal question, and you can tell me to forget it. But, you know, back along, I wrote a column about whether you call a, you know, you call a fisher, you call a fisherman, or now they started, because it's politically correct, they start calling women who fish fishers. Fish. Well, to me, a fisher is that thing that runs through the woods with a long tail.
Yeah.
So do you are you offended if they call you a fisherman?
No, and I think that's how I refer to myself, too.
Yeah, I found most women say that.
Yep.
And so it ain't, you know, it ain't politically correct, but you don't mind it, right?
Well, you can cover all bases by saying an angler.
Could say an angler, yeah. That's one way of it, yeah.
Oh, I could.
All right, yeah. I'm going to call you a fisherman, all right?
Thank you.
Okay. And Becky.
Definitely not a fisher.
All right. It's been great to chat with you, Becky, and we're going to put you on. And Norm's going to get your address, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Anything else on your mind tonight?
No, just really looking forward to being able to get out and shoot some partridge. And I have a great recipe for you.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, Becky. Becky, I would love it if you'd send me that recipe. Now listen, I'm going to put it on the website like I promised. Do you have my email address?
I do actually, because you sent me a recipe one time.
Oh, okay, I did. All right. Well, would you send that recipe to me, and I'll list it on the website. All right.
Sure, love to.
Okay, we appreciate that. Okay, I guess we got a deal, and we'll put you on with the Norm. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Becky.
Yep. God love you, dear. Thank you.
All right. That is the correct answer. You need to have a hunting license, obviously. You got to have a bear permit, obviously. And you need to have oral or written permission from a landowner.
That's probably the main thing.
That's the big thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And like she said, you got to put your name and address on the somewhere on the tree stand as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Even an ice fishing shack, you got to put it on there.
You do.
Oh, absolutely.
You do. Yeah. 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 And it's a good thing on those ice shacks to put a couple of reflectors, too. You know why, right?
Oh, yeah. In a storm, why, you know. We wouldn't want to run into an ice shack in the middle of a lake.
A few years ago, a snow sledder going wide open.
Yeah, pretty hard to stop.
One of those shacks, and I think it killed him.
No kidding. Could have.
Yeah, out on a lake in a snowstorm or something, you know, at night particularly.
Yeah.
Good to put some reflectors on those. Hard to believe we're talking about ice shacks. I'm getting cold already.
Well, it's just around the corner.
Yeah.
Okay. Proverbial corner.
Yeah, right. Anyway, at 7:30, we'll be hooking up with John Floyd, and he'll be talking about the bear hunt upcoming. And just as soon as Norm gets free with Becky there, we're going to have him hook up with Woody Higgins. Now, Woody is the president of Penobscot County Conservation Association.
PCCA.
Yes, PCCA. And they have a gun show every year, Bob, and he's going to clue us in what that's all about.
Yeah, I was president of PCCA back in 1974.
Were you really?
I was.
Yeah. Well, that was quite an honor.
It was a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a few years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a good group. They do great.
They're a wonderful group.
They
do a lot of things locally for charity.
I'm amazed how many scholarships they give out to university and wildlife majors.
They give it all out.
A lot.
I think they make.
A lot of money.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. All right. So, I think Norm is still on the phone.
Yes, he is.
There. Maybe he's trying to get a hold of Woody. I hope so. Anything else on your mind tonight that you'd like to talk about?
My mind?
Yeah.
I think there was something on ice fish. You got me an ice fish Woody or something. No, no. I was going to say that Guy Carroll is a great fisherman, but he always went slow.
You have to.
Slow.
Very slow.
Very slow.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, sometimes he even trolled with the wind.
Yeah, my dad used to, my dad had this clip on the back behind the propeller of his outboard motor, and it was like a round dish, aluminum dish.
Oh, yeah, slow
it down. And it would slow the boat down.
Sure.
And I guess some guys throw out a bucket tied to a rope.
Yes, they do. That's another thing.
Yeah.
But you got to, if you're going to fish deep, you got to go slow.
Yeah. Or have a good outboard motor that really trolls down.
Slows down,
Yeah, just putt, putt, putt.
All these things that you get today to find the fish are one thing, but catching them is another.
Yeah.
Well, you know that. You've seen it. I've seen those contraptions. They get all that stuff.
Yeah.
Fish finders.
Yeah.
I had one for a long time, and I finally threw it out.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I guess in Florida, where everybody has a fish finder, you got to have that, right?
Oh, I suppose.
But it's sort of cheating a little bit, don't you think?
No.
You don't think it's cheating?
A bunch of cords. There they are, got the ideas to catch them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you could look at them all day, but you got to catch them.
Yeah, you got to catch them, right? Yeah. Anyway, togue fishing is quite an art form, and a lot of fly fishermen make fun of it, but it's a real.
I don't know, it's a losing grade these days. It's something that's disappearing fast.
Yeah, it is. Are we hooked up with Woody?
Actually, I wasn't going to hook you up with Woody right at the moment because we're on the half hour. We should be taking that break.
Oh, okay. Let's take the break.
And I'll get Woody with during the break.
Sounds good. Let's do it. We'll be right back, folks. You stay with us. And you know, Norm, if you really want to get rid of all that personal information that's on your computer when you get ready to junk it, just give Hillary a call.
She sounds like she's a pro at it.
Well, she'll put some bleach to it. Take care of that. Yeah.
Bleach, hammers, sledgehammers.
Hammers, yeah, sledgehammers. Hey, do we have Woody standing by?
We sure do.
Hi, Woody.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. And our listeners, most of our loyal listeners already know how famous you are because you were on our show a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and we wanted to have you back because we cheated you the last time you were here. You didn't get an opportunity to tell the folks about your new gun show coming up in September, so we thought we'd give you that chance.
Well, thanks a lot. Yeah, it's actually this will be the 30th year that the PCCA has sponsored the Bangor Gun Show. It's at the Shrine Hall on Outer Broadway in Bangor. The hours are 9 to 5 on September 9th and 9 to 2 on September 10th.
So is that a Friday and Saturday or Saturday and Sunday?
It's a Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. 9 and 10 September, right?
Yep.
At the Shrine Hall? Okay.
That's a big hall out there.
Yeah.
You've been there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Do you know how many vendors you have right now?
I don't, but I know that it's been sold out for almost 2 months.
Oh, has it really?
Good.
That's great.
Really, really great. Yeah, you always hate to have to wait to fill a place, but it's been full. And as you probably know, there's everything in there from antiques to modern ammunition, rifles, pistols, probably some knives, some other items. And we do have a little food in the kitchen where we sell food to the public and to the vendors.
Now the antis have always argued that when you guys have a gun show, you can sell a gun to anybody without a background check. That's not the case, is it, Woody?
No, that's not true. Everybody that buys a firearm at the show has to go through the same test that you do when you buy it from a dealer.
Okay. Now, I remember back in the good old days, before all these hyper-regulations, that if a person wanted to walk in there with his old 30-30 looking to trade it in, he or she could do so. Is that still the case? Can you walk in with an old family heirloom or whatever?
When you come in the front door, there are people sitting inside that will take your firearm and make sure it's obviously unloaded and safe. And then you can, pay your admission and go in and talk to the dealers about the value or trade it or sell it or whatever you want to do.
So
the issue that we really try to control, but it's had to, is people trying to deal in the parking lot. I guess if you want to.
Oh, okay,
that.
Yeah. Parking.
You know, but once the firearm comes into the building, it's immediately checked and safety. There's usually something that holds it open so that it can't be closed, and the same with the firearms going out.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Now, you guys, where does all the profits go after you close the show?
Well, the money goes in the treasury of the club, and then it's goes out into the community in different scholarships and programs that we do throughout the year. We have a kids' ice fishing day in the winter, usually in February. It's no charge to come, and we provide all the items to ice fish. We have a kids' day in June that's free to families to bring their kids, and it's. We have a number of other outdoor groups that come and display their things. So we try to, we have to, obviously we have to pay our expenses to do that, but we do put the money back in. We usually sponsor roughly between five and $10,000 worth of summer camp scholarships at the 4-H camp at Greenland Point.
Oh, that's great. So it all goes to a good cause, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the money goes right back in the community.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so it's the September 9 and 10, And that's not that far away, right?
Right. It's just a few weeks, yeah.
And 9 to 5 both days.
9 to 2 on Sunday.
9 to 2 on Sunday. Is there a admission cost?
There is admission, and I'll be honest with you, it's either $9 or $10. Yeah. I can't remember which.
Okay. All right, that's great. Well, sounds like an exciting show. They always are. I always enjoyed particularly seeing some of the sometimes you have some really priceless antiques on
exactly.
People can look at, which is exciting too. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I will say that when you come in the front door, if you want to join the NRA or renew your membership, there's a table that'll do that.
All right, great. Okay, we appreciate you taking the time to tell folks about it, and we wish you best luck with your gun show, Woody.
Positively.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, guy. Yep.
Yep.
Bye-bye. All right. That's the Big Gun Show, sponsored by the PCCA at the Shriners Hall in Bangor on September 9 and 10. And a good chance, if you're looking to buy a used weapon, this is a good chance to do so. All right. And now we're going to be hooking up, I think, with John Floyd. John writes a column for the Sporting Journal called The Gun Cabinet. He knows a lot about guns and has written some really interesting columns, well-informed. And he's also an outfitter who runs Tucker Ridge Outfitters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where's that located?
And that's over
Tucker
in
Ridge.
Down East Maine.
Down East.
And I'm trying to think of the exact, I don't know, I think it's over near Danforth, I believe.
Danforth isn't really down east. It's just
kind of halfway between, I guess.
Well, it's just below Halton.
Yeah. Okay.
John is with you.
Hi, John. You there, sir?
I'm here, Paul. How are you?
Fine, John. Thank you for being with us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you. Hi, Bob. Hi, Norm.
Hi, thank you.
John, I guess you know we told you why we'd like to have you come on. I know bear season's coming up, and now you've been baiting for, what, a couple weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks now.
2 weeks now, and bear season starts on, last Monday of the month, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Wow. Are you ready?
I don't know if you're ever ready, but we're as ready as we're going to get.
And are you booked up for sports?
Yeah, we usually book about a year ahead of time, so our 4 weeks have been booked for about a year.
Yeah, okay. How about your bait sites? Are you getting any action on the bait sites?
I'd say we're about 50-50.
Yeah.
I anticipated a slow start with all the natural food in the woods. There's a major beech nut crop this year.
I heard that. My son was telling me that today. I heard that. Now, that's good news. That'd be great.
Yeah, they're all over. So typically when we see that, it's a little slow start. But
yeah.
They'll get going pretty heavy. And it's good news for the guys coming in the third and fourth weeks, you know.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, great. Okay, I got a whole bunch of questions there. I guess I can just start shooting them at you. Let's talk a little bit, John, about bear habits. Your many years of guiding bear hunters, what have you learned about some of the common behavior patterns of bears? Say, a sow versus a male bear? Any difference? Any comments on that?
I can tell you that if a sow with cubs comes into a bait site that she feels comfortable at and she feels comfortable letting her cubs feed at, she will take over that site. There's a good chance that you may not see even boars similar size even try to feed at that site. She will be very aggressive to make sure that her cubs can feed at that site.
Yeah.
So when I see that, we just feed them. And we don't put anybody on those sites.
Yeah. Back 20 years ago, when I was an active do-it-yourself bear hunter, I had a sow come in with a couple of cubs, and I watched that for probably 40 minutes, and it was really fascinating. The sow would let would chew on the donuts for a couple of minutes and then let a cub go in for about 30 seconds, and then she'd snap her teeth. The cub would get out of the way, and mama would go back in the feed. Then she'd back off, the other cub would go in and feed for 30 seconds, and mama would snap her teeth. Have you ever witnessed that?
I haven't seen that firsthand, no. But I do know that, that's all training. You know, dogs train their pups the same way.
Yeah.
She's training. And it's funny you mention that, because it's something that I talk to bear hunters about. One thing you can tell when it comes to cubs and a sow versus maybe a sow with some yearlings that are getting ready to move off is that when you see a couple of small bears come bounding into a site and then a bigger bear come later, there's a very good chance that those are cubs and that's a wet sow coming after them. And that's a dead giveaway because a lot of hunters have a hard time on stand determining how big a bear is. And they're pumped up and they're excited. And that's a dead giveaway. You know, like cubs are like little kids. They come romping in free for all and into the bait. And then the sow comes a little later. So it's kind of a giveaway to know that those are definitely cubs and, you know, to pull the gun down.
Yeah. Most hunters, correct me if I'm wrong, most hunters won't take a sow with cubs, right?
Well, that's the ethical thing.
Yeah.
And we talk about that here in the safety briefing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and every hunter checks in here, and we do a safety briefing with a PowerPoint, and you know, I show them photos and how to determine the differences between a wet sow and a dry sow, cubs and yearlings and things like that. And most hunters don't want to, but it's the age-old trick with bear hunting that bears just look bigger than they really are when you're in a tree stand.
Yeah.
So we work really hard to try to make them understand, give them visual cues, how big a cub looks standing next to the barrel. You know, this height, that's definitely a cub. If its back is at this height, you know, that's a good bear. Yeah.
And if the bear's ears look very large, isn't that a sign that it's a small bear?
Yeah, that's the easiest trick, really.
Yeah.
Small ears, big bear. Big ears, small bear.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what about, I understand that folks who have been at it a long time, like yourself, refine your recipe for bait that you use at the site. Is that a top secret proprietary thing, or can you talk about that? Do you have your own magic formula for bait?
Well, I don't know if it's so top secret, but so early season, like a year, every year is different. So this year, the natural foods are very prevalent in the woods. So the bears are going to be a little slow to the baits. So I try to mimic as close as I can the stuff in the woods. So I'll do some trail mix stuff with nuts, but I'll sweeten it up with some chocolates, and bears have a sweet tooth. So I'll sweeten it up, but I'll try to keep more natural. And then as the season goes on and they really kick into that hyper feeding stage where they really want to fatten up, then I'll start giving them the more, the pastry stuff, the Pop-Tart stuff, the stuff that really packs weight on, because that's what they're looking for.
Yeah. Back when I was doing it there 20 years ago, my buddy brought up Dunkin' Donuts from Agawam, Mass. They work pretty good.
Well, yeah. They're bears like donuts.
Yeah. And if you're really hungry, they're not that bad. You know, they're a little stale, but yeah.
You can warm them up a little bit, you know, the microwave.
Yeah. You say, John?
Quite a few times I've had to back the hunters away from the bait drums when I was still in the bucket. So.
Yeah, free goodies, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short commercial break. Do you mind hanging on, John? I've got some other questions I'd like to ask you.
Yeah, sure thing.
All right, we'll be right back, John. Thank you. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, we've got a word or two for one of our sponsors, General Appliance in Brewer. And they start off with old off-grid living. Made easy at General Appliance. I like that. Off-grid living.
You bet.
Huh? Yeah. Okay, they have gas ranges, gas, everything. Refrigerators, freezers, gas lights, composting toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
Thank you, Norman. Now owned and operated by Gary Coleman, who has been doing service work for General Appliance for more than 35 years, Paul.
Yes, Gary took
and
over
he's
there.
He's a young man, too.
Bought the business from Al Elkin, who we dealt with for many years.
Yes, we certainly have.
And Gary knows his stuff. He's a great guy. I met him for the first time when I was over there about a month or two ago. And he's got a nice lady working there in the office. Yep. And they have a full inventory of all kinds of used appliances. So if you're in the market, it's a place to go, Bob.
Yeah. Well, nothing has changed. They're still serving up high-class customer service.
Yes, sir.
So come visit them. A new location just two doors down from where they used to be on Center Street. They're up on the corner now, easy to find. General Appliance in Brewer. Go see them or call them, 989 1-4, and they have parts, too.
And they also sell a complete line of gas lights for your camps as well.
They certainly do.
You bet. General Appliance and Brewer, they've been sponsoring this show since year one. We urge you to patronize them as we all do. Right, Norm?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we do.
Okay. Are you still there, Mr. Floyd?
I'm here.
Thank you, John. A couple of other questions. Bob may have some for you. We may have some callers call in. I want to ask you, I know you know a lot about firearms, and you write about it in your column often. Do you have any particular favorite round or rifle that you like to?
That was my next question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob.
That's all right.
It's a good question. Yeah. What's your perfect bear gun?
I think a perfect bear gun for me would probably be a 30-06 shooting something with a rapid expansion cartridge, something that's going to create a big wound channel. Deep penetration, because as you know, bears are fatty. They have thick bones and thick hides, and sometimes if you don't put the bear down right at the bait, you may not have blood for 50 yards.
Yeah, well, I used the 30-06 with a 180 grain core lock.
Perfect.
That worked fabulously.
Yeah.
The bear never moved. He just dropped right where I shot him.
Yeah, and shot placement is key.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that Core-Lock ammunition. I've used it on all kinds of game animals.
I had a quickie question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where do you aim to drop a bear right then and there?
Good question.
Would you heart, neck, head, what?
Good question.
I am so glad you asked, Bob, because I talk about this with clients, and they all give me the stink eye when I tell them this. I'm a big fan of the neck shot.
Neck shot, yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't something that, you know, I invented. One of my mentors, when I first started guiding a bear guide, he explained the reasoning to me. And what it is that, you know, if you look at the size of a big bear's neck when he's at the bait, it's not much of a smaller target than the vitals. So if you shoot for the neck, you've got three opportunities to drop the bear right where he is. It's an ethical shot. It's a quick shot. You don't have to track them. So you've got the airway, you've got the spinal cord, and you've got the major blood artery going to the brain.
True.
You're going to hit one of the three.
Seems so.
And that bear is going to drop right there, and your hunt's over.
There you are.
Now, I'm amazed, because I read all kinds of stuff, and I've hunted bears. My wife has. That's the first time I've ever heard that. That's interesting. Yeah.
I can tell you, Paul, every client that's taken my advice and has done that, the bear was at the bait when I showed up. The clients that did not take my advice and took the traditional vital shot, which is still a good shot. Sometimes you can't always get that shot at the neck. But they took that vital shot. I was tracking a bear.
All right. You know, once I wounded a bear, and it was almost dark, and I started tracking the blood trail on my hands and knees in this fir thicket, and I begin to realize after about 5 minutes that this is crazy.
Yeah.
you don't do that, right, John? You go back the next morning?
No. So what we do is if a client hits a bear and I get the call and I show up and the bear's not there at the bait and it ran, the first thing we do is alert everybody else in camp that we've got a bear hit.
Right.
I put the client back on the stand. I do a quick hasty search, you know, a quick 25-yard search in a circle. I can't find the bear. I'll have him, you know, call out to me, and I'll pretend to be the bear. And he'll have me move back or left or right until he can tell me that's the last place I heard that bear.
Yeah.
If I can't find the bear by then, if it looks good, I talk to the client and I'm confident that he hit the bear, maybe I find some blood, maybe I find some hair. I pull him off the stand. I mark the spot, get everybody back to camp, and then I call a tracking dog. But we never leave the bear overnight.
So you have a tracking dog in your sporting camp?
I don't have my own personal dog. I call one of the local tracking dogs down in Lee.
Okay. Is that something, do you know Suzanne Hamilton, Lindsay Ware?
I've heard of Lindsay. I've never had the opportunity to work with her.
Yeah.
I use Paul House with House in the Woods.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure.
Yeah, his famous dog, Turbo, they're right down the road from me, so that's what we call.
Yeah, okay. We've got a couple minutes left here before we lose track of the clock here. What's your favorite bear recipe? Is that something you can tell us about? Do you have a favorite bear recipe?
I think our favorite recipe is probably bear meatloaf. We do bear chili, we do bear stew. Depends on the type of year, but the clients really love bear meatloaf, and my wife makes it. Sometimes we have clients that can't bring meat back because they fly or they travel from overseas and they can't import meat back into the EU. So they donate it to camp, and then, you know, we'll serve it and cook. So I would say bear meatloaf, and you know, bear meat really favors slow cooking, so anything like that works really well. And we make it just like you would a regular beef meatloaf. Yeah. We just use bear meat.
Do me a favor, John, would you? Would you check out the Sporting Journal website. Look at the recipe section under Connections, and there's a recipe called Dana's Bear Meatloaf. We had that at Deer Camp, and it was fantastic. I've never tasted anything good in my life. So check it out. Have your cook check it out, would you?
I will.
All right. I think we are up against the clock, aren't we, Norm? Just about out of time.
We've got about 45
seconds. 40 seconds. John, we want to thank you for being with us, and we want to wish you the very best of bear hunts. And I'm sure you're going to have an exciting time, and we look forward to talking to you again and reading more about it all in the Northwood Sporting Journal.
Fantastic. Thank you, guys. Great to talk to you.
Oh, wow,
okay, John, thank you, and take care. Bye-bye. All right, that was John Floyd, who is he runs Tucker Ridge Outfitters and writes a column for the Journal.
We didn't ask him where Tucker Ridge was.
Tucker Ridge, we should have asked him. I think it's near Danforth.
I think so.
But we'll
not
find
positive,
out.
Yeah.
And who's our guest next week, Bob?
The guest next week is, let me look it up here real quick, Sean McClellan.
Scott.
Scott McClellan. And Scott is a very experienced shed hunter. He hunts sheds.
Shed? You know what a shed is?
You know, like moose antlers?
Deer antlers.
Deer antlers, shed antlers, yeah. And
Not horns,
we'll be talking to Scott next week, and we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.